Clubhouse.
Welcome to Decorating the Set from Hollywood to Your Home with your hosts, Beth Kushnick and Caroline Daly.
Welcome to Decorating the Set from Hollywood to Your Home. I'm Caroline. Hey, Beth, how are you?
Hi, Caroline. I'm good and so excited to get back to our decorating roots this week.
I know, right? I can't believe spring is right around the corner. I feel like we just had the holiday season and now it's suddenly the flowers are blooming and it's time to visit our annual topic of trends. Where are we? Where are we going with all these new trends? So Beth, when you're looking around, what are you seeing for the current state of home decor? Where are we?
Well, what I'm hearing from my vendors is after years of a COVID-inspired boom, the home decor industry is a bit sluggish post-pandemic. Right. For one thing, most people have completed whatever changes they wanted to make to their homes, but also people are starting to spend their money outside of the house again, and travel is back, so people are finding entertainment other places.
Oh man, Beth, that sounds a little bleak. You have to give us some bright spots. What's coming on the horizon?
Well, all is not lost. There are some specific trends that endure, all with an overriding theme of, I think, both serenity and functionality, which, you know, started to really take shape during COVID.
Serenity, man. We can never have enough of that. I feel like we could always use more. And another bright spot is I know that the supply chain backlog that we talked about a lot in season one, it really eased up. I mean, it seems like, you know, we were joking a lot about how we get our hands on a desk, right? And now it seems like now I'm seeing those desks up on like the resale sites and stuff like that now. So we can get into a lot of the things that we want to easily now. So I'm excited to talk about this serenity and functionality with these trends. So one of our first trends that we're going to talk about today, you guys, is quiet luxury. And what does that mean, Beth?
I don't really subscribe to trends. So I chose some topics that are trends, but they have staying power. Quiet luxury is investing in statement pieces that stand the test of time. It can be a really small investment. You know, maybe it's in a collection of pottery or vintage yard sale art or a piece of furniture that will continue to travel with you for all the homes that you live in. Still, my theory of that high-low works with it. You know, making a statement piece and deciding whether that's your sofa, it can be even as simple as coffee table books. You know, you want to start a collection and you get inspiration from design books and they sit on your coffee table and are something new and a sense of design that you can display. So there are things that bring you enjoyment and tell your character, which is what I always subscribe to.
So for our listeners who maybe didn't catch season one and when we really talked a lot about high-low, can you explain a little bit about that theory, how it works?
Sure. I think that there are certain things that do make a difference at different price points. And now, even more interesting, I can tell you all through my own Amazon store, which you can find on my website or on my Instagram, there are dupes, fantastic dupes out there for high-end luxury items, whether it's in linens, in curtains, a really interesting ottoman. So I always do a mix, no matter what economic level a private client is at. I try to bring them the mix of where they should spend their money, where they should invest it, whether it's in the perfect rug that ties the whole room together, in the upholstery, or if you have kids and your upholstery is going to get used, you might not want to make that investment piece your sofa. So it's just that balance of high-low.
And I love that you mentioned that that's important at every budget, because every budget level, because for a lot of people, they might feel like a little bad. Like, if only I had, you know, more money, then I would just do high for everything. But you're saying even when you have a high budget, you still mix and match that high low.
I do, because I think it makes everything, I don't know, in a way, a little less precious, you know? I don't think you can feel good about investing, no matter how much of a budget you have, at a total high end, because there are so many great dupes, you know? Why bother spending the money there? Maybe if you don't spend the money there, you can continue the look of what you're doing in your home to the outside, or you can do another room, you know, and have a better appliance in the kitchen. So I think it's always really smart to sit down and almost assign a figure, a budget amount, as to where you want to really invest the money.
I think that is a great tip, and definitely something that our people at home can feel good about. Like, this is what someone would do with the biggest budget in the world. So I'm doing the right thing here.
I do that to really show my care and responsibility on a film or a TV series, because it's important. You know, I never know on a TV series if I'm going to have a very demanding script for the next episode. Sometimes I take budgets from one episode and put it in another episode. You know, that only gets really kind of scary when you're on the last two episodes and you can't do that kind of juggle. But I think it's a really big, important part of the job, being budget conscious and seeing that through, as well as the design and pleasing the client, serving the script. It's all involved in the job.
I think this is why you're such an excellent decorator by our listeners' side, because you are thoughtful about the budget and you aren't going to just advise people to spend their money on things that, like you said, you can do for less and get just as beautiful of a look. Sometimes it is spot on, right? Like, when you walk into a place and you're like, man, this is like almost too on the nose. Like, everything is too perfect. Everything is too, like, out of a, you know, a catalog picture or something, where you're like, it doesn't feel like someone's home.
Exactly. You know, I think I tend to be extremely conservative with my private clients. If things are in good shape, I really might change the wallpaper, repaint, or not do a total overhaul. It's sort of like design with what you have. I think part of the joy I get actually is problem solving in that way. You know, so many times I have clients who are shocked at me saying, no, don't touch that room. Same thing happens in staging. You know, if you remove certain elements, there should be no reason why every room has to be repainted white. You know, I mean, I think that people are so used to seeing the same look everywhere that it's nice to give an opportunity to things that aren't necessarily the norm in every situation.
And especially if you're getting something at like an antique shop or you know, resale or something like that, then your chances are you're getting something unique that you're not going to find in someone else's home, you know, the same as something that you just ordered off of Amazon or a big box store. So that's always awesome. I know in a previous season, we had explored the 60s and 70s as big trends that were coming back. Are we still going that direction? Are we going vintage in our home decor style?
Vintage is universal, and vintage is even stronger, I would say. But interestingly, I'm seeing it in other details, you know, whereas vintage fabrics, vintage wallpaper was in. Now it's really about vintage lighting, vintage hardware, and these are all reproductions that you can get. Things that look like old-fashioned pulls, definitely hanging fixtures and lamps that hark back to maybe old schoolhouse globes, a lot of milk glass, a lot of brass. Those are readily available at any price point, and they create statements. You know, vintage details really give a place a kind of classic feel.
And it does seem like an opportunity for you to mix and match that old and new, like if you change out the hardware or whatnot.
They can be changed quickly. I think it's also a way to mix metals and make things feel, you know, a little softer instead of everything's chrome and modern and clean. It sort of gives character.
Absolutely. It gives history, right? Of course, we always have to get back to our character story, right? Which is, of course, ourselves in our own home. So I'm feeling that. Now, let's talk about our walls, Beth. I know we typically talk about the paint color of the year. Are we looking at paint this year? Is this what we're worrying about for our walls?
We always worry about paint, Caroline, because it's, you know, something that I really think about. But actually, wallpaper is hotter than it's ever been.
Yeah.
It's definitely something that has become mass market. I mean, you'll even notice that pretty much across the boards, every home decor store is now carrying their own wallpaper.
It's advertised to me nonstop on social media. Like, it's all over my pages.
Yeah, it continues to bring options at all different levels. You can do an entire room, a single wall, maybe the wall behind your bed, and that becomes a sort of headboard or the start of the focal point. Always, you know, I love wallpaper inside a drawer, a cabinet, a bookcase. And there are still so many temporary peel and stick choices. Now we're seeing more complete murals, you know, wallpaper sold as an entire mural, both abstract and realistic. Velvets, grass cloth.
Velvets. Ooh, I love the textures.
Yes. Some beautiful high-end wallpaper. The texture, the color, the richness. I mean, that can change a white box of an apartment. It can create what I like to call a little jewel box of an entryway. Always a powder room is like the place people seem to feel a little risky and go wild. You know, come look at my zebra wallpaper in my powder room or my oversized palm leaves. And you can do it easily. Some people do the ceiling as well. And it's like a whole enclosure of this jewel box choice. And all the choices after that come from the wallpaper.
That's amazing. So I know that there are tricks to picking wallpaper for your space, right? It's not like a, you know, just no-brainer. You can pick any size print for any size room. There is some tips of the trade for that one.
Yes.
I'm hoping.
Yes.
I say hopefully.
My tip would be, think about when you're looking at wallpaper, unlike paint, you're looking at maybe a small swatch online. Maybe you see a small swatch in a wallpaper book. That is repeated 10, 20, could be 100-fold when you're doing a whole room. So you really have to consider what it looks like in a mass amount. And that's why I think it's critically important to get larger samples, to even buy a roll and cut it and tape it up on your wall in different places, especially if you're looking at small patterns, because what I think people tend to not realize is just how much movement and vibration it can be in wallpaper. You know, in a small swatch, you may not see that all those vines or all those circles and squares are going to start to make your eyes literally vibrate.
So, or it's like, I've seen that, like, we've been in like a bed and breakfast and the walls have those little tiny flowers. And I'm like, are the flowers moving? It feels like they're moving.
Now, on a show that I've done before, we made wallpaper for the character and we wanted it to look like it was moving. So the way that you get that is by this small repetitive pattern. So a lot of wallpapers that work better are just an overall textural guide, you know, an overall feeling, a color, maybe even on one wall, and then you take off from that color and paint the other three walls in the room that color. But you must remember, it will always look different when it's in a mass than just a small swatch.
I love the idea of taking like a big piece and just tape it up there and see what you think for a while. That's a smart idea.
I really recommend people start slow. You can get a tone-on-tone pattern, you know, something mild, something that just reads as a textural element, and save the bold choices for smaller spaces, like an entryway or a powder room, or save the bold choices to be like a floral mural behind your bed. Something that your eyes are not focused on all the time.
Okay, so like a pass-through space is a good idea, or a place you spend like not huge amounts of time staring at.
Yes.
Okay, that's smart. Okay, now when we're talking about wallpaper in particular, I have no idea how to guesstimate how much I would need for a room. And that seems like a specific skill that I know you're going to be amazing at, but that people can really mess up on, especially if it's like, oh, I got it on clearance and now I have no chance of getting an extra roll. How do people figure that out?
Actually, I'm going to admit something to all of you.
Oh, my God.
It is not something I'm good at because it is truly an art to figuring out. I mean, not only is it an art, it probably takes like a major Mensa member in mathematics. It's figuring out the size of your pattern and how it repeats. I always recommend that wallpaper, it's an investment into the ambiance of your home. It should be handled by someone with experienced hands. I always recommend passing it by a professional installer. You know, you can measure your wall and say to your wallpaper installer, this is my pattern. All the information is on the back of each swatch of wallpaper.
Oh, good to know. That's where you're going to get that info. Yeah. Okay.
And you can take a picture of that. You can send it to your wallpaper installer. And you can say, I'm doing this size room or this size wall. And they're genius above and beyond doing the actual installation is letting you know how much wallpaper you need. When I'm doing a movie, a TV show, especially since we need it quickly and we don't have time in case anything goes wrong, I always over order. You can do that within reason. You know, you always add a good 10% because there's a lot of waste in certain patterns of wallpaper.
So explain to people why there's so much waste. What goes on there?
Well, there's waste in making it line up where you may make a cut when you're taking what's left of that piece of wallpaper and putting it next to the pattern you just put up. It may not line up. Mm-hmm. So you might just blow that whole piece of the roll. It's not an exact science. I recommend that people order at least 10% more because each roll of wallpaper, they say, can have variations in color. So let's say one piece of wallpaper has been installed and a year later it has a nice crayon drawing from
little Sharpies.
You know, you don't want to replace the wallpaper in the entire room. You just want to patch that part of it. So it's always good to have an extra roll from the same dye lot.
Smart. So then you should probably really consider if you're sitting there looking in a clearance bin and you think you have enough and you know that this is like a discontinued thing, you should really stop and consider what you're doing.
Exactly.
Okay, Beth, when we're talking about trends, this means that a lot of people are going to be using these same ideas because that's what makes it a trend, right? Lots of people are using it. So how do we keep our homes from looking like cookie cutter? Like, you know, my neighbor's or my girlfriend's house looks exactly the same as my house. How do we do that while still, you know, absorbing some of the trends?
I've always said this. It's all in the mix. Eclectic decor, it truly speaks to me because in my film and television work, I call it character-driven. For home interiors, it's a way to work with what you have and what inspires you. I myself would never be able to live in a space where all the furniture was white or gray or the usual grayish.
As I was just going to say grayish.
Like, yeah. You know, all you see in most spaces now, whether you're walking in front of a window display, in a department store, in a furniture store, whether you're looking for an apartment that's been staged, whether you're seeing any kind of new home renovation and decor done by, I don't know, whoever, whatever decorator, whether you're looking in books, whether you're checked into a new hotel, you know, and you see the public spaces, everything looks the same. It's got a fabric that's similar to boucle or boucle, that nubby fabric. It's got a curved sofa. I could tell you, you know, what's in each one of these spaces. They all look the same. They're all white or beige or cream. They're all curved things, curved coffee tables, curved end tables, big curved sofas, uncomfortable pieces, usually. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, they have like an ethnic throw, a print, a throw pillow, and they're all the same. It just depends how high end. When you see all these new stores that are known for clothing coming out with, you know, a whole home decor edition, they're all the same. I could cover the name of the catalog and show you pages from each different catalog that you might get, and you start to see that they're all the same.
You're like stressing me out with this. I'm like, oh my God, we're all the same.
I mean, I feel like it's something that has taken place, you know, I don't know, in the last few years, but like, I find myself multiple times a day, you know, I walk by a real estate company and they have pictures in the window of all the apartments they're selling. And every apartment is staged the same way. Every apartment has the requisite curved sofa, all made of the same fabric. So I just don't want people to see that online or see it displayed in a store and think that that's all that's offered to them. I still really hope that everybody will just think about developing a style that's curated, thoughtful, a combination of things. It's this current go-to, and I say, go away, you know?
Yeah,
I don't want to see any more of it.
It's so sterile, too. It doesn't, there's nothing about it that feels welcoming or, you know, invites you to sit down and you know, have a drink and talk with people or whatever. It always feels like, you know, like you want to sit up straight and don't like lean on the pillows too much or anything like that. So from what I'm hearing from you, really, we need to think about what makes us personally different or our families personally different from our neighbors or from the magazine people or whatnot. And use those, our travels, our handmade things, our inherited items.
Things.
Yeah, for sure.
History.
Hand-me-down things. Yeah.
You know, they can all be in a certain style. They can all, you know, if you like that modern look, it's just, I think you can develop it with a little bit of both. I'm just saying that all those things that make it feel and look like a hotel, I mean, it's a certain look for a certain place. And I understand it even more in staging because it gives people an opportunity to picture themselves living in that space.
I love it when you say that way because we're both rolling our eyes, right? We're both like, it's the blank slate. We're supposed to picture your own furniture in this space, right? We've all heard that. But the reality is that most of us are not that great at picturing our stuff in the space. Most of us have a hard time with proportions and understanding where things would actually fit in a room. room. So those blank slates, it's sort of a weird double-edged sword, because it almost suggests that if you move into this house, you should keep all white stuff or all bland things.
No, I think eclectic, even what's called in the industry, is transitional. You know, it's the in between modern and traditional. I just think there are so many more options open to you. You know, I'm not talking about even top layer of life, you know, and mess. I mean, you can have a really designed, pristine, beautiful upscale space, but I'm always going to encourage you to go for a mix, you know, and not just stick with one style and one look and one color.
And you know, what's nice about that is that it can actually grow with you, because like my kids are older now. And so I might have little touches of things that are around from when they were small, little, you know, obviously pictures, picture frames, stuff like that. But like little things they made or little things we bought along the way on travels. But it can grow with us because it is eclectic. I'm not trying to like keep us stuck in time. We can just add to the, as we grow and change, we can add to our decor.
You're seeing a lot of collage walls now. I'd say, you know, really for the last few years, take it like this. A collage wall. You could do a collage wall of black and white photographs, all in black frames. That will give you one kind of look. You could do a collage wall all in ornate gold frames, you know, kids' drawings, modern art, in ornate gold frames. That will give you another look. You're still doing the same process. You're still thinking, instead of one picture, one, you know, work of art, I'm going to collect, I'm going to think about accessorizing and make it my own. You can do a collage wall with 3D pieces, you know, add them in between your frames. So I'm saying you can stick to these trends, with air quotes, but you bring your own style to all of it.
Then again, like we said, it can kind of grow and change with you. You don't have to like change it every year in the sense of like a true trend where things come and go. You can just add to it because it's still you. You're still using your personal character story in order to inform all your choices.
Exactly.
So, Beth, one of the things we had talked about previous episodes was that tech was really starting to get integrated into our lives. I know that there are certain furniture companies that were even like embedding chargers and stuff like into end tables and things like that. Are we seeing more of that or less of that?
I think you're seeing a certain amount of that. I think those trends, though, are fading away. People seem to be looking for some more meaning or personality, which thrills me, in their decorating style. Even my clients who want a modern look, they are tending to think outside the box, or maybe I'm pushing the envelope with them.
Maybe they're listening to the podcast.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. They're learning. People are getting more savvy.
Yeah. Interiors, you know, they're more eclectic. People who use antiques and pieces that have been passed down through the family, mixed with new pieces that work with any price and with any style. You know, I think people are looking to make a connection to their past, the way they decorate for their future. You know, I don't know, maybe that's just the state of the world, you know, cancel
like
culture.
It also kind of feels like time is like speeding up in a way that makes me feel more nostalgic. The faster that we have like these, you know, innovations in, you know, technology or just in the world around us, I feel like a need to go back to my roots. I want to embrace the new, but I have this real need to like not lose my roots and like what my culture is, for me, Lithuanian. I feel more drawn to that as I get older and as I feel like the world seems more futuristic to me, I guess.
Sure.
It's like I want to hold on to my homey feels of things.
I do think that the gadgets and the tech have a place and they work. Like, I don't know, when you go watch a movie, you know, it's a different experience now when you have a recliner chair, you know. But I think that it all has its place. And I think people are you know, obviously still connected, still relying on it. But there's a lot to be said for putting it in the other room to get a good night's sleep and resting your eyes and resting your mind. And I think everyone's sort of in this next phase now of thinking about their environment.
Agree. Like what we're absorbing around us.
Yes.
That is very much how it feels. Beth, we had a lot of good conversation today about the trends that are coming and about how to sort of incorporate that into our daily lives without throwing out everything we already have or trying to jump in on some big bandwagon. We need to still have our own personal stuff. So what would be some takeaways that you want our listeners to have from this episode?
Well, let me tell you this. Some companies now make, believe it or not, wallpaper in sheets, not in rolls. They're smaller and easier to handle than a roll, and there's much less cutting and matching. So if you're going to, against my better direction, attempt to do it on your own, you might want to look into that. And I'd say, you know, although our topic has been trends, I'm really so anti-trends. I encourage you to take trends for what they are, that they're temporary in a way. I think we covered what I would consider our sort of lasting trends, and just always stay true to your own style and, you know, your own character. Think about your life where you live. You know, do you work all day so you're not in your apartment during the day and it's mostly a nighttime apartment? Think about what your needs are and then work on the design decisions based on that. Lastly, I would say an eclectic mix is always my go-to. It gives your home a very curated look. You know, as I tell one of my clients often, it looks like we meant it. And yeah, we did.
That's awesome. I know how many of our listeners would love to have you by their side. And I know that you are always encouraging of them to send in their questions, send in their pictures, all that good stuff. But you have something new that you're offering with your Amazon store. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. I do have my go-to picks on Amazon. I have certain things in the Amazon store that I've used on my last couple of sets. So I know they work. and I'm trying to cover a wide range of prices, of items, of stuff for different rooms. You can see my Amazon store on Instagram at Beth Kushnick, or you can visit my website and ask questions and send me your photos, and I'll be the decorator by your side. That's www.bethkushnick.com.
I am so excited for that, Beth. It's such a new and different way for you to interact with our listeners, and I know you're going to offer so many great products for them. Thank you so much for talking to us today about trends. Even if it wasn't your favorite subject, I feel like we're encouraging our listeners to maybe take those trends in stride, right?
Yes.
They're just here for a bit. We need to be able to have some longevity with our choices. If we're going to put our money into something, let's make sure it's something we actually like next year, right?
Right.
Thank you so much, Beth, for your time today. We so appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It was great to get back to our roots.
Thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to Decorating the Set from Hollywood to Your Home at Apple Podcast, Spotify Podcast, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Please leave a 5-star review. It helps a lot in promotion of the show. 5 stars, people. Thanks so much for listening.
Decorating the Set from Hollywood to Your Home is an original Pod Clubhouse production, recorded, edited, and produced at Pod Clubhouse Studios. For more information, please visit us online at podclubhouse.com. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to Decorating the Set at Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you for listening.